performing from Nazim Rashid, opening up the student to teacher show. Good morning. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite coming to you from Arizona. It is a beautiful and warm, very warm day here. However, that is what we moved to Arizona for, is for that nice warm weather, especially during the summertime. You know, everything is about perspective, and it's the way we want to look at our world, no matter where we're waking up this morning. It doesn't matter whether you're waking up in a situation where you are stricken by poverty or abuse or violence or whatever the situation is in your life. Maybe you're going through a divorce, or you are suffering from loss of a child or a family member. You know the saying, life goes on, and it does. It hurts many times, but it does go on. And this morning, I give a special tribute to those who are undergoing tremendous suffering at this point, and a reminder to them that most suffering is because of what we, in our minds, we imagine it to be. We imagine suffering, and we can always change the way that we look at life. In spite of the pain, my friends, and still go forward. Tomorrow, you still have to work. You still have to go to school. And life goes on. So you will find a way to deal with it. Be an optimist and deal with it. I know you can do it. We've covered so many things on the show, so many different topics to help students and teachers and veterans who are trying their best to succeed, not only in the workforce. When we say the workforce, even those that are trying to start their own businesses, that's part of the workforce. And we encourage you to continue doing that. In spite of everything that you're going through in your life, all of the psychological issues, the physical issues, the spiritual issues, you still have the power to roll up your sleeves and to move in a direction where you can recognize the power of God within you. And speaking of the power of God within you, there is a part of us that, when we look at the God force, that we are looking at the potential inside of us for genius. And genius is what we're going to be talking about today. What is genius? I want you to stay tuned before I get into the definition of genius. I want you to stay tuned for the factor that we have our Greg Dobrowolski coming on to speak to our veterans this morning. And we want him to definitely share with you some news that's going on with our veterans around the country, and to give you some resources and encourage you also to look at the genius within. As a veteran myself, I realize the importance of including my brothers and sisters in arms in many of the conversations that we have, so that they can indeed grow, because they have gone through so much as far as trying to overcome their challenges in life. So back to this definition of genius and looking for the genius potential in all of us. If you're a student, you know that you're someone who is eager to learn. That's how you define yourself. If you're a teacher, you're willing to share. So I want you to take this information that we're going to give you today, and I want you to make sure you share, learn it, share it, and learn it again as you share it, learn from somebody else. It's a constant process of learning and sharing, student to teacher, over and over and over again in our lives. Yes, is a person who's defined as one who has a certain intellectual capacity that's unique. Well, I go a step beyond that, and I look at the genius within as a very spiritual, energy that's there to create and produce. And I see that genius, yes, in many ways is looked at academically as intelligence, but I see also genius as a way of producing thought, producing people to look at you and to learn from you. And if we can do that, then we are geniuses. Our genius is expressed in a variety of forms. And it can be shown in early childhood to late adulthood. You know, when most of us think of genius, we think of people that have high IQ. And we think of people like Albert Einstein and Leonardo da Vinci and all of our famous, there are a lot of famous people that we can think of. I mean, I can think of Harriet Tubman, and just people that in any way have produced something, created something, helped others to learn something. That is what I'm calling genius. And so in my work with severely mentally ill persons, I have found genius. Yes, I have. I truly have found genius. I have found the ability to learn from those who are in a most severe state. And not only do I learn something about them, and I learn something about the God force within them, but I learn something about myself. And I hope that you will too. I hope that you'll reach out to someone that you may think is a little weird. You may think is a little off, or maybe you use the word crazy. And I want you to try your best this week to reach out to that person and try to understand them. That instead of taking a negative viewpoint, a pessimistic viewpoint, that you allow yourself to be optimistic and think about the possibility that this person has potential to be a genius. We have a caller online. I just want to welcome this caller in. Good morning, 678. Good morning, 678.
Good morning.
There?
Good yes,
morning.
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. And did you want to share any thoughts this morning?
Actually, I called in just to listen to the show. I have nothing to say at this time.
All right, wonderful. Well, we certainly appreciate you calling in, and we hope that we can share some information with you. You sound like a great student and hopefully a great teacher. If you're willing to learn and you're willing to share, you're with us, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we find that there are many people in this world that are overlooked and devalued because of their disabilities, and that is unfortunate. We find that when we look at what the norm is in our society. We think that, many of us think that the norm is someone that does not have a disability. But I'm here to tell you that when we look at the world from a global perspective, that most people have some form of dis in their abilities. In other words, something missing in their abilities, in one ability or another. And so it's not necessarily that we have to go with the universal symbol of a wheelchair and assume that that is the only way that someone is labeled as disabled. We have to look a little further at the non-visible disability, and that is usually the mental disability. We have to look at the fact that as we see people, we see ourselves. And if we can look at the potential of genius within us, then indeed we can see the potential of genius in others. And we can stop overlooking and devaluing the groups of people that are supposedly labeled with disabilities and recognize that they are, I am you and you are me. That's what I'm trying to say. I am you and you are me. We live in one of the most progressive countries in the world, my friends. And still we have so much great, such disparity in the treatment and access to school and work opportunities for those with disabilities. And it's frightening when you think of the factor that there are many people in this world who are not able to recognize that they are not so great, that we are all part of each other. And if we don't get it together and recognize that, our human race, and that's what I mean, our human race, not our black race, our white race, our Mexican race, our human race is not going to make it. We have to find a way to look at each other and believe in each other. And we have to look at each other and believe in the fact that we have a genius potential in all of us. There are so many people that I can name to you, right off the top of my head, that have had mental disabilities and still excelled in school and done wonderful things with their life. And I want to help you explore that. I want you to know that when we look at the world today and all of the students and teachers out there that have questions about why we continue to have so many problems as the human race, we continually ask the question, why is this so? Why are there so many problems? I believe that most of it is because we're not recognizing the genius potential in ourselves and the genius potential in others. And when I say genius, I truly mean the God force within us, the potential of genius in persons with disabilities. We have a number of callers online this morning, and we certainly appreciate you joining us this morning to discuss this very, very important topic of genius potential. When I say genius to you, what do you think of? I'm going to ask some of our callers to share that with us. If you feel comfortable giving your name, that's great. If you don't, that's okay too. And our chat line is open for those of you who wish to come into our chat line this morning. Our chat line is open for those of you who don't wish to come on live radio but wish to share a statement with us. Feel free to do that. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, Dr. Applewhite. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. 310. Area code 310. Are you there? Okay. We have another one, 602 area. Good morning. I think I'm losing people on my switchboard here, and I'm very sorry. I don't know what technical difficulties I'm having here, but I seem to be losing people on the switchboard this morning.
Dr. Applewhite, can you hear me?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
This is Consuelo. We can hear you well, but I don't know if you can hear us.
Yes, okay. All right, I can hear you now. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. We're talking about the genius potential.
Yes, Dr. Applewhite, you asked about the meaning of for each one of us of genius.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that genius, of course, we are human beings, and we're supposedly the mastered work of art of our Creator. And so he has endowed us with very similar potential and similar abilities and similar qualities of the Creator himself or herself. And also I'm reminding myself of the fact that scientifically I heard or I read once that we human beings are not using our full mental potential, the brain
mm-hmm.
potential. We're only using like 1% or even less of our capability with our brain and our mind. So that's another thing that we need to remember, and we
yes.
have to know how to take advantage of what the genius that the Creator has endowed in us, in all of us.
Yes, well, we come across this great question, though, of how can we see the genius not only in ourselves but in others? And it's so hard to do that for most of us. When we are looking in the mirror at ourselves, we have this opinion about genius that throws us into this thing of, I've got to be super smart, or I've got to have a high IQ. And we overlook the genius within us, that we are co-creators, co-producers, and that we have great imaginations, and that we're all students and teachers. When I look at people, and you just take, for instance, some of the great writers, like Virginia Woolf and Ernest Hemingway, who suffered from serious mental illness, and they were able to still make great contributions to our world. And for some reason, this is what gets me, is that when people are stars or celebrities and they admit to having bipolar disorder or depression, it seems to be okay. But then when you turn around in our society with just the average person, so to speak, we still have so many abuses in our society. We don't seem to see the potential in just the average person. And I hope that somehow we can change that outlook. Do you agree?
Yes, of course. And I believe this is one of the purposes of this show and your mentoring of all of us into growing, into being able to make the best use of our abilities, and also to instill in others the curiosity to find out what else is there more that they don't know they possess. And this is
right.
our mission, to be able to encourage others and show them things that maybe they are not able to see because of our mental patterns of thought, mainly, I think it is, that we haven't been taught to look into these possibilities. So we have
yes.
to start by changing our thought patterns.
Yes, yes. That is it, that you said it right there, changing our thought patterns, okay? Changing the way we look at people who have a so-called mental disabilities and acknowledging that they have something to offer. And going back to my example of looking at people who are stars, celebrities, take for instance Woody Allen, famous director, movie producer, who has fought depression for many, many years, brings that out. Catherine Zeta-Jones, another actress who talks about depression and bipolar disorder. Why is it so easy for us to accept that celebrities can have disorders and that it's all right? But then in our communities, we seem to put people, we seem to ostracize them and put them in a category of not being, not having potential just because of their mental disability. Why does it seem like that is so easy? Do you know what I mean? To go from the famous to the average person, and we have such a difference in our opinion about them. Any one of our listeners can go ahead.
That is true, what you're saying. I really commend you for bringing this out, because we can also use those examples, those mm-hmm. very well-known people, to encourage others that these people have been so successful, and so everyone else can too. So at the same time, we can use their lives and their examples to encourage others, because they mm-hmm. are well-known, and the rest of us are not known, of course.
When I look at some of the people that I've worked with and continue to work with now that have physical and mental disabilities, and I talk to them about the genius potential within them, as we hope our guest, our invited guest this morning, Dr. Will Moreland, will bring out, we certainly hope that we can bring some awareness to them about how to reach inside of themselves and find the genius within. And we hope that in doing that, that they will share that with other people and encourage them to not only recognize the genius potential, but apply it in their life. And let's find out if we have our guest speaker, I believe, is online this morning, and we're going to try to reach him right now, so please hold on. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. 310. Are you there? I lost your call before, and I don't want to lose your call again. 310, are you there? Okay. We'll try 280. 280, are you there? Good morning. 480, 280. Good morning,
Dr.
Applewhite.
This is Dr. Will. How are you?
Hi. Who is this now?
This is Dr. Will. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Will. Dr. Will Moreland is online with us this morning. I hope that you've heard a little bit about what I've said this morning about the genius potential and how we're trying to encourage people to understand that everyone has that potential within us. I want you to share with us from your book and from your own experiences what you found. And Dr. Moreland, you know, you and I come from very, very similar roots, you know, both raised in Compton, California, both military veterans, and so there's a lot that we can with those out there that come from similar backgrounds, and helping them to recognize that not only do they have the genius in them, but the ability to go forward and do wonderful things in their life. Please tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, first off, Dr. Applewhite, I wanted to thank you for everything that you're doing in this space of inspiration and motivation, and your work in education and your work in the community of those that may have a disability. So I first wanted to just thank you for everything that you're doing in that space and applaud you for all your outstanding work.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank
Well, as you said, we just grew up from Compton, California. And if anyone is familiar with Compton, California, at the time I grew up there, Compton, California was dubbed and noted as the worst city in America. It was riddled with gang violence, poverty, and drugs. But yeah. At the same time, Compton is a wonderful place filled with wonderful individuals. And I always tell people, never overlook the diamonds that are in the ghetto. And I believe that they're jewels all across America. And one of the most overlooked places is the inner city. And even the topics that we're speaking on today with inside the community of those that have a disability. But my work over the last two decades has really focused on helping individuals identify that special genius on the inside of them. And I believe that the Creator has endowed each of us with a unique gift, each of us with a unique genius. And if we focus on that special uniqueness, I believe that we can accomplish magnificent things. I believe that we can live extraordinary lives. And I understand that extraordinary and success to each of us, that means something different. But if you focus on your genius, you know, I tell everyone, the question really isn't what can't I do? The question really is what can I do? And if you would train yourself, develop yourself, and discipline yourself to only focus on what can I do, how can I make an impact in my environment, you really will begin to see things differently. And one of the acronyms that I use for CAN is I can change my attitude right now. So change attitude now. If you want to experience a better life, change attitude now. And I believe each of us can do that. You could think of something positive about what you're experiencing right now. And one of the examples I always use is if you're driving down the street and you have a flat tire, well, you still have three great tires. You still most likely have AAA, or you have a spare in your car, or you even have a car to drive. So you're always going to find reasons to give thanks and reasons to find to have a positive perspective about the situation you're in.
And so when you think about that example is great, but here's where we have a challenge, okay? And let's just go with bipolar disorder or depression. But I'd like to speak with bipolar disorder because a lot of the students that that we're working with now, and certainly many of the veterans that call in that are trying to go to school and infiltrate back into the workforce, civilian workforce, it's difficult for them with many of the depression issues like post-traumatic stress disorder. And what's happening is that the stigma that society lays out there about people with especially mental disabilities, and I'm of course inclusive of physical disabilities also, it's so hard for many to overcome that and to really recognize the genius potential within them. And what I'm hoping is can you give us some ideas, some tips on how we can look in the mirror and reflect on what we have inside of us to bring out our genius potential?
You know, first, doctor, let me state this, and let me be the champion for, you know, the community and say this to everybody. Everybody has something wrong with them, and one of the things that society does is we want to focus on, you know, those individuals that maybe have something external that all of us can visually see. And it's always easy to target what you can see, and it's hard to target what you don't see. But if we're completely honest, if we really want some change, we all have to be honest with ourselves. When we look in the mirror, whether you're classified as what we classify as a person that's normal, and what I mean by normal is an individual that doesn't have maybe an external something going on with them. But we all, doctor, and you know this throughout your work, we all have something, whether it's, you know, something we don't like about ourselves, that becomes a disability. You know, a disability is just something that limits us from doing something maybe fully. But if we're really honest, we all have some type of disability, whether it's diagnosed by a doctor or whatever. So the first thing everyone has to realize is, number one, everyone matters. That's what we are. And I heard you talk a little bit earlier about this, that we all have to know that each of us brings something to the table. So everyone matters, and that goes back to what I said earlier about really focusing on what can I do? What do I bring to the table? I can't look at, and, you know, all of us have been developed to every time we see someone else, we compare ourselves to that individual. If I look at your car, Dr. Applewhite, I have to start thinking about the car I drive. If I look at your house, I have to start thinking about the house I live in. You know, we're so apt to want to compare ourselves, and what we have to start doing is looking at ourselves through the eyes of uniqueness and really realizing when you look in at yourself in the mirror to really begin to say, I am unique. I'm one of a kind. I'm a designer original. When God created me, he created me unique. And I want everybody to understand this. Before you faced any challenge, before you faced any problem, before you've been diagnosed with anything, I want you to know that God already had a purpose and a plan for your life. And God was able to look at everything that you were going to face in life, every experience, and he said, you're still worth being born. I still have a plan for you. I still have an idea for you. You know, Dr. Applewhite, when I think about you and think about you before you had the accident, before you had the accident, I'd had a purpose for you. Now, you didn't know growing up, and you didn't know maybe that you were going to have this accident, but God knew, and he still said, your life is valuable. You are worthy to be born, and that's why, because you've adopted the attitude that you do matter and that you are going to contribute to the whole. Here you are with your own radio show. You're one of the top educators here in Arizona, and you're teaching others that, yes, you still can live a full life. And when we talk about a full life, you have to start looking at it from an individual perspective. Your full life may not be the same as my full life, but you still can live a full life. And that's what you and I and other individuals in this space try to get people to understand. Identify what a full life is for you and go after with all your passion.
You know, I have the greatest love and respect for you, Will, Dr. Will, and for what you've done already with just bringing out the leadership potential in other people and recognizing the genius. I was just wondering why you focused on genius, why that word, that concept came up for you. Where did that come from?
Well, me, like many other people, I went through a season in my life really asking, what is life really about? Why am I really here? What is my purpose in life? And I really began to meditate on this idea and really began to think about this idea. And one of the ways that I really get inspiration, and this is just me, my personal journey, but one of the ways I really get inspiration and one of the ways I believe God talks to me personally is through scripture. And so every day I try to read a passage of scripture, and every day I start off reading a proverb, because there are 31 proverbs, 31 chapters, and they're usually 31 days in a month. And so whatever day I'm on, that's the proverb I read. And so I read every day, and one day I came across a scripture, and it was Psalms 118, verse 17, and it said, I shall not die, but live, L-I-V-E, and declare the works of the Lord. And I began to really meditate on that. And the thought came to me, to live means to live in victory every day. And that's what you talked about earlier, about having a perspective. What is your perspective on life? What is your philosophy on life? And so my philosophy began to be, I'm going to live in victory every day. And then another time I was reading a scripture, it was around 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it was the Apostle Paul, and he was speaking, and he said every person has their own proper gift. And so I started to research that word gift, and one of the synonyms for gift was genius. And so my whole mantra began to be, I'm going to live genius. And what that means, Doctor, is to live in victory every day while getting engaged in unique significance. And so that began to be my whole message, training people, teaching people how to live genius. And it goes back to that uniqueness in you. What is that unique, special, genius gift that you have, that you're to bring to the world, and each of us have it. And so in a nutshell, that began to be my whole message throughout the world. I've been so fortunate and so blessed to share this message around the world so far.
You know, I really appreciate that. There's a couple of things that I picked up from that. And, you know, and I know many of our listeners out there are believers in Jesus Christ and in the Bible, and also believers in the Quran and in Allah, and they have different perspectives of looking at God. But the God potential or genius potential in all of us supersedes our religious affiliations. But I can't help but myself, you know, when I look at, you know, what is the genius potential and why I picked on you, Will, okay, with your book and your background, is because I have always, with the people that I've worked with, the issue has always come across, why has God forsaken me? And it's almost what Jesus had said at the end of his life, according to biblical history. Asking God why you have forsaken me, and because the pain and the suffering was so great in this life. And many times we ask, I just had a lady just recently saying to me, I've been praying and praying, but the pain won't go away, and I am totally disabled in my life because of the pain. And I'm trying to help her to understand, and the scripture came up for me, which is really interesting. It just falls in line with everything you've been saying. And it's from 1 Corinthians, interestingly, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it's Paul's discussion about a pain and weakness, and how he believes that the power of Christ actually helps us to get through weakness and makes us extraordinary human beings when we go through any kind of pain and suffering, and that by that God's grace, the beauty of God within us, is sufficient for us to get through any of the weaknesses that we feel in our flesh. And also another good point that I'd like to bring out, for me personally, I try to avoid the comparison with others. And I encourage all of you students and teachers out there, is to avoid the comparison with others, because you'll always find those that are greater or lesser than yourself. So listen to what Dr. Will was saying about that. When you look at other people, many of us, I know that there's a couple of students online right now that have cerebral palsy and depression and dealing with all of the different issues in life. And they look at other people and say, well, why aren't I like that? Okay, I want to be like that. And instead of doing that, look at who you are inside of yourselves and understand that maybe your weakness, your disability, what we call weakness and disability, is really something that strengthens you. Do you agree, Dr. Will?
I wholeheartedly agree. And I want to go back real quickly to the whole concept of, has God forsaken me? Has he forgotten about me? You know, I always try to remind people, Dr. Applewhite, that when God created the universe, he didn't want to create a universe full of robots. And so the only way that this universe could work properly is God had to allow us to be born as free-willed individuals, meaning God wanted, if you're going to love God, God wanted you to love him on your own accord. If he makes you love him, then you're a robot. So for all of this to happen, God had to release us into a universe that is, if you will, self-governed. And what I mean by that, we as individuals, you know, when you look at the hate and all the awful things that happen in the world, those are not God induced. Those are people induced. And so when I look at my children, I think about it like this. I know that there's a possibility that my child could get hit by a car, they could get shot, they could be born with a disability or any heinous thing. So me and my wife, we had to say, you know what, with all the wrong things that happened, that could happen to our child, is it still worth having children?
Yes.
Is it still worth having children? And so we had to answer that question. With all the bad stuff that could happen in the world, is it still worth having children? And for us, the answer was yes. I knew everything that could possibly happen, but it was still worth it. And so God had to say, with all the awful things that could happen if I create this world, it is still worth it to create this world and let these people be free-willed individuals. And that's how I look at it with children, and that's how I look at it from the perspective of God. And so, you know, there are some things that my children are going to do that really don't fall in direct line with my will. You know, we have the will of God. So it's not going to fall in line with my will, but this is what I know. I'm always going to be there for my children. Whether they're doing exactly what I want them to do in life, no matter what happens to them, I'm always going to be there for them. I'm never going to forsake them. And that's what Jesus found out as well. It felt like the Father was forsaking him, but in his weakest moment, notice what the Bible says, Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. And that's where my kids will be, on my right-hand side. And that's how you, whoever you are listening to us, have to know that no matter what you're going through, David said it like this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, not because I'm bad, not because I have all these weapons of war, but because thou art with me. He said, my confidence is knowing that God is with me, not because I'm some warrior, not because everything is going right in my life, but he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the only reason I'm not afraid, if you're listening to us this morning, you can have a surety, you can have confidence that you can make it, that you can go through anything in this life. And Doc, I'm talking from experience. You're listening to a guy who woke up one morning and who was paralyzed on the right side of his body. You're looking at a guy who was left for not several different times. You're looking at a guy who was homeless. And all the time, I tell people this all the time, even when I was homeless, I knew I wasn't hopeless because I knew God was walking with me through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes,
and
yes.
And
it makes you stronger.
Confident.
It really does make you stronger. That's what has happened to you. You've become stronger. And you became a student. With what you went through, you became a student. You learned through your weakness, through that thorn in your side. You learned through it, Dr. Will. And you took it, and you not only learned through it, you shared it. And you continually share it now. And I think that that's, if anything, it's a bottom line message in our discussion this morning, is encouraging other people to see that when you're going through the darkest moments of your life, the most disabling and painful moments in your life, is when you are in the closest relationship with the Creator. And I appreciate you so much for bringing that out for us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me add this, and once again, it really goes back to what we focus on. Whatever we focus on is going to be enlarged in our life. And so for any of us out there that are faced with any challenges, I want you to say with that challenge, inside this challenge, what is my advantage? Because to every challenge, you have an advantage. No matter what you're going through, you have an advantage. And for those of us out there that may be living with a disability, you still have an advantage. So you have to tap into that advantage. You know, Dr. Applewhite, I'll say this about you because I know you're strong enough to accept and understand what I mean, and I know you know my heart behind it. But, you know, your mobility, because you are in a wheelchair, your mobility has been slowed down, but you get to experience life in a totally different way than me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
For most of us, we're always on the go. You know, you have a certain amount of patience that I probably know is probably better than mine. You probably get to smell the roses on the road probably more than I do, you know, because we're always on the go, always, you know, running from here to there. You know, you can't per se do that, so you really have to take your time, and you get to see an abundance of things that I may never get to see. And I know you do this already, but I want to encourage other people to do this. I know you stop to smell the roses. I know you stop to see your surroundings. You have to check your surroundings. You have to be patient in everything that you're doing. You've learned how to, you know, in a sense, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, depend on help. A lot of us who have all of our faculties have a difficult time asking people for help.
Yes, yes, that's is so true.
That's one of my greatest
disabilities. And it was hard. It was hard. I'm not going to kid you. It was hard.
No.
It was hard
you
to ask.
To learn. And you said, if I'm going to live a full life, I'm going to need some help. And that's whether you're in a wheelchair or have both of your legs, we still need help. And that's one of the key lessons everyone has to learn. And you had to learn it.
It's that interdependency. And I think that that's when we talk about veterans especially, that's what I believe the military tries to reinforce, is that, yes, we are independent beings, but we are also interdependent on others. We are a team as the human race, and we've got to depend on each other, and everyone has something to bring to the table. And I hope that people walk away from this show today and share that with others, shake a hand, hug somebody, and say, you have something to share. Tell me about your success. Tell me about what you have been through. And take that information and share it with somebody else so that we can all grow. I appreciate you understanding that it does take a lot now, especially being that I was full-bodied and able to run and jump on a plane and do the things that, you know, basically that you're doing now with your career. And it is different for me now. And so I found another way to express my genius, if you will, okay? And I'm hoping that we have some of the people that are online this morning, if they have anything they want to say to you, even if it's just kudos for you this morning for being on the show and some of the things that you shared. Are there any of the listeners out there? Because I handle this kind of like a panel, classroom kind of like situation, Dr. Will. Are there any of you out there that would like to say something to Dr. Will this morning? We have a lot of people online here. We have a 438 number. Dr. Applewhite, would you like to say something to Dr. Will? Okay. One moment, Dr. Will. We have a young lady here, the 480-200. Hello, good morning. It's Dr. Applewhite. Do you have a question or a comment for Dr. Will this morning? Hello? Okay. Will, you still there? You holding on for me?
I'm still here.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. We have a 310 number. Are you there? 310? I think I've lost your call a number of times, and I'm trying to make sure that I get your sound. I'm not getting your sound there. Okay. Good morning. 678 number.
I don't have how much to say, but I just want to say today's show was real educating for me. Thanks. Dr. Morgan, you're real good.
Dr. Morgan is the author of the Genius Potential book. And are you a mother yourself?
Yes, I am.
Are you a mother or responsible for other? Are you a teacher? Of course you're a teacher. Everyone is a teacher, right? But I hope that you're going to take this information that you've learned today and share it with others out there.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Okay.
So great to you.
Thank you very much. And we have another student online here, 438. Anything you'd like to say to Dr. Moreland this morning? Bring it on out. We have someone on chat, Dr. Moreland, who has stated a very, very important question about veterans and the factor that there's so much going on in the world that is preventing him from succeeding, and he feels very, very lost. And he wants to know what you have to say about veterans succeeding in this world. And I guess that is because you're a veteran, I put that out there. Anything special that you'd like to say to him?
I would suggest to this individual to really take about 2 hours, and do this weekend, take about 2 hours with a pen and a notepad and really start going back over everything that they learned from their military experience, from the time they went into basic training to when they taught us how to instantly trust someone, that battle buddy. I had to instantly learn how to trust an individual that I'd never met before, that I never knew. Some of those traits, some of those things, that waking up early, being disciplined, being physically trained, being mentally sharp, all those little things that you used to hear that when we were in the military, stay alert, stay alive, you know, leave no one behind. Really start to say, what did I learn from this experience? What did it teach me? Then the second part of that is, doctor, what they need to do is then say to themselves, who do I really want to be, and what type of life do I really want to live? And when you start asking the universe these types of questions, the universe will respond with better answers. You know, what I have found out is the better our question, the better our answers. Many people ask questions like, why has this happened to me? Instead of saying, what will I do with this experience? Those are two different paradigms that produce two different answers. You know, I always tell my clients, it's not can I afford something, it's how can I afford it? Because when you say I can't afford something, your brain shuts off. But when you ask your brain to come up with a way for you to achieve anything, it will. I'm reminded of Roger Bannister when everyone said it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile. Roger told himself, it is possible. I'm going to do it. And this is the barrier right here. And this is what I try to get people to understand. The moment that Roger Bannister ran that sub-4-minute mile, every single year since that time, hundreds of thousands of people have been able to do it. Before he did it, no one had ever done it because they kept listening to, it's impossible. It's impossible. And he said, no, it is possible. And because he said it was possible, he did it. Everyone said your body would break down, your body would explode, your body couldn't take this pressure. If we look at Usain Bolt, we have to, you know, one of the things, doctor, we have to realize is we have to stop locking in our brain. You remember when the cell phones first came out and we said, oh, we can't get into this. You mean it was that big brick cell phone?
We said
it couldn't get any better than this. Remember when the VCR came out and we said, oh, it can't get any better than the VCR. Remember when the Walkman came out, said, it can't, this is it. And here we are in 2013. We have phones that we can control our whole life with. We have MP3 players. You know, we have MP3 players that can hold thousands of songs, where we used to have the little small Walkman and we would record off the radio to get our music. Now look at this. So if you could imagine, if you could just open up your imagination, that veteran that's listening to me, to say to yourself, this is not the end of my life. This is not what God planned for me, because the Bible says, God says, I still know the thoughts that I have for you. They're thoughts of love and peace and to give you an expected end. And just like my children, I have an expected end for them. And God is so much better than me. God did not allow anyone to be born that he didn't have a great finish for. I need you to understand that. I need you to believe that, that God did not allow anyone to start life that he didn't have a great finish designed for.
Wow. Wow. We have one additional caller online. I'm still waiting for Operation Veterans Promise to come on. I think this may be them. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. 708.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who do we have a pleasure of?
This is Michael. How are you this morning, Dr. Applewhite?
Michael with OBP, with Operation Veterans Promise?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so glad you joined us this morning. I know we're very short on time this morning, but I just wanted to ask if there's anything that you'd like to add to what Dr. Moreland has said this morning about the genius potential in those that you work with Operation Veterans Promise.
I have to agree with him wholeheartedly. All too often, we limit ourselves and our expectations a lot of times because of a fear of failure or inability or not necessarily having a complete understanding of what's available to us, and fear of failure a lot of times prevents people from taking those initial steps that lead to greatness.
Yes.
And all it takes is just a few moments and a little bit of, as the doctor would say, mental fortitude, and to jump on out into those opportunities.
We encourage all of you, especially those of you, of course, that are going through the academic challenges right now, through getting through job training, workforce issues, that you take what we have said today, no matter what your level of ability is, and recognize that you are a differently abled individual and that you have within you to do whatever you wish to do. Make sure you get a hold of Dr. Moreland's book. Dr. Will Moreland, where can we find your book at? You want to give us a website that we can connect with you on?
The easiest way to get it is to simply go to my website, www.willmoreland.com. As a matter of fact, we're having a great sale right now on over 30 book titles right now, anywhere from personal development to leadership to relationships to finance. So please go there. Once again, it's Will Moreland, willmoreland.com. And add to your personal development library.
Yes, thank you very much. And for those of you who need that information, again, please contact White Apple Institute, our sponsor, whiteappleinstitute.org, or connect with me through the show. Michael, we appreciate Operation Veterans Promise being part of the show always. And we're sorry that we got to end so late there. But we do expect that you'll be part of our show again, our live broadcast. And thank you all for joining us this morning as we close. Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to say I'll give you a quick call to give you an update as soon as you're done with the broadcast.
Thank you very much. We close the show now, and wishing you much love.